This is Annenberg Radio News' coverage of Election 2012. I'm Josh Wu. This just in, Governor Romney is at the podium as we speak, conceding to President Obama. More on that in a little bit. But right now, here's a proposition for an update. Prop 36, which would amend the oft-debated three-strikes law, is likely to pass by a wide margin. It has 70% support, with 7% of precincts reporting. Prop 35 is also easily passed, with 80% of voters supporting longer prison terms for human traffickers. Prop 34, on the other hand, looks to be headed to the chopping block. 55% of voters have opted to keep capital punishment. And while the presidential election's been called, we're still awaiting speeches from either candidate. As we said earlier, Governor Romney is conceding as we speak. But we check in now with Neon Tommy's editor-at-large, Matt Pressburg. Matt, what are we following now?
Right now, we're actually following two Senate races in the West. We're following Montana, where John Tester, the incumbent Democrat, has about a five-point lead right now. And he looks actually pretty strong. In the counties that are coming up, Tester will probably hold on to that one. And interestingly, in North Dakota, there's also a race. There was a Democratic Senator Kent Conrad, who retired, and Rick Berg was the Republican nominee, a pretty strong candidate, the state's only congressman. But the Democratic candidate, Heidi Heitkamp, ran an excellent campaign, and right now, with about 80-some percent of the vote in, they're about tied. And so that one could be probably the biggest upset if Heidi Heitkamp holds on.
All right. Matt Pressburg with Neon Tommy. Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And more proposition news. Evan Budrovich is live at Dodger Stadium, where some propositions, including the nail-biter Prop 30, are being closely watched by the crowd there. So, Evan, if you're there, what's going on with these propositions and the folks at Dodger Stadium?
Well, live from Dodger Stadium, at this moment, Proposition 32, no on Proposition 32 is actually in the lead by over 100,000 votes at this time. And no on Proposition 32, which is the other big measure, is actually winning at this time over yes on Prop 32. So the crowd's kind of even keel. They're half and half in favor of what's going on at this moment in time. The biggest cheers came from when Mitt Romney stepped up onto the stage on CNN, a loud cheer from this pro-Democratic crowd. Outside of that, fans are just getting ready for the votes to pile in. That the precincts are very early in the night with Los Angeles voters on no on 32 and yes on Prop 30. Those are the two that are very watched out for in this area. Back to you guys in the studio.
All right, ARN's Evan Budrovich live from Dodger Stadium. Evan, thank you very much. Independent candidate Bill Bloomfield has given 37-year Democratic congressional veteran Henry Waxman a run for his money, his first real fight in decades. The 33rd district was recently redrawn, and as ballots get counted, Bloomfield talks to Max Schwartz about his chances.
We have Bill Bloomfield on the line right now, running for Congress in the 33rd district. And candidate Bloomfield, are you with us tonight?
I am, Max. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for taking the time on this busy election night to join us.
My pleasure.
So I want to just give everyone some background on the 33rd Congressional District first. It is the district itself is not new. It's just newly numbered. And you are the first in a very long time to give Congressman Henry Waxman a fight. How do you feel about that? You must be feeling pretty bold.
Well, I'm pleased so far. You know, the early absentees were almost running 50-50. I'm optimistic, frankly, we're going to win. So, yeah, I've been pleased with the entire campaign. I've been pleased with the response from the electorate, the citizens of the 33rd Congressional District, that the message of putting country ahead of partisan politics and the fact that we've got to get Congress working has been very, very well received. One thing I'll correct you on, the district is new. And one of the reasons that some people missed this, the fact, the closeness of this race, was they missed the fact that 52% of the district is new to Congressman
right.
Waxman. All of the South Bay, where I live, is new to him. And so we had the sort of luxury of running against Congress without having to defend the home, the incumbent in the South Bay. I expect to win. We are polling very, very well. And as you see, the absentees were almost at 50%.
And where did you spend Election Day?
Well, I'm at the Election Day at the headquarters making some calls. And then I went to the Richstone Center in Hawthorne and tutored.
Okay.
I'm a Rotarian. I've been a Rotary for 31 years. And our club tutors there. And, you know, it was the first day when we had to sign up to do the tutoring. That I knew. I said, yeah, the afternoon of Election Day, I had some time.
I want to ask, did you honestly believe from the beginning that you could beat Congressman Waxman, who has been in Congress for more than 30 years?
Good question. I ran for the simple purpose that I refuse to just stay in Manhattan Beach while the future of our country is threatened.
Now we go over to Catherine Davis, who's live at Union Station at Jackie Lacey's event. Catherine, are you there? And if you are, what's the scene like over there?
Hello?
Yes, Catherine.
Hi. I'm down at Union Station, and they're waiting for Jackie Lacey to come speak. But right now, everyone's eyes are on the screen watching Romney's concession speech. So not much is happening here until that's all over. But the crowd's gotten bigger here. I think everyone's excited to hear Jackie Lacey speak in a minute.
All right. We'll check back in with you a little later on once she shows up. Catherine, thank you very much. Alan Jackson, Jackie Lacey's opponent, is holding an event at a sushi restaurant downtown where we'll try to check in a little bit later on. But now to an interview by producer Rosalie Murphy, who spoke to Jackson last week.
Now, I feel like for the past 5 or 6 years, we've been hearing in Los Angeles, gang crime is down, violent crime is down. Do you think that's accurate?
I think over the past 5 or 6 years, it has been accurate. Generally speaking, I think those days are coming to a quick halt, and it's coming in the wake of something called realignment. One of the things that I would bring to your listeners' attention is what a failure this definition of non-serious, non-violent, non-sex offender felons is. And those include involuntary manslaughter, convictions for vehicular manslaughter, possession of explosives and explosive devices, threatening witnesses, threatening jurors, statutory rape, assault, battery. And because we're overcrowded at the local level, individuals are going to start being let out over and over and over. As a matter of fact, it's already begun. And I think that's going to really affect the crime rates that we've seen over the years. And those crime rates are going to start moving up.
I know in the case of realignment, you've suggested a form of alternative sentencing that might have some more intense supervision. What kind of a model do you see for that? And where might we get funding for something like that?
Well, the funding is going to have to come from the state. It's as simple as that. We can't, in the county, fund an entire alternative sentencing program. And the funding is supposed to come from the state, as a matter of fact. This was a state idea. These are statutory courts. And not only does it keep someone out of jail in the first place and put them in a program where they can actually be helped, but it keeps them out of jail in the second and third and fourth place.
Where does three strikes play into this? Frequently, that third offense is a drug crime, is a relatively low-level crime.
That's not true. It's just not true. That is an absolutely incorrect assessment that the third strike, and you're talking, I'm assuming when you say that it's a relatively low-level drug offense, we then sentence them to 25 years to life. That just doesn't happen. We do not seek, as a presumption, a third strike sentence on anyone unless their current felony is violent or serious as well. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So what we're doing here in Los Angeles is a very measured approach to three strikes. But we maintain some discretion. In other words, the old adage, the old story, the sort of urban legend about a guy who steals a piece of pizza and gets tossed in the penitentiary for 25 years to life, that hasn't happened in Los Angeles since before 2000, since before Steve Cooley took over.
Now, you've said when you're the district attorney, we'll know in 6 or 7 days. How are you feeling?
We will. I feel great. I really do. Look, this is the time for a titanium spot. I'm very excited about where we stand. Thank you so much, Rosalie.
So
I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and your listeners.
Thanks a lot.
Now, when we last checked in with Chaya Nene at the registrar's office in Norwalk, she reported that police were rushing ballots in and helicopters were on the way. Chaya, if you're there, what's going on now?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right. What's the scene like over there?
It is still chaos. The sheriffs are racing in ballots even after the polls have closed, and it's almost a race between these volunteer high school students who bring up the boxes. They shred the boxes. Ballots are almost, it's like the sacred gift that's being brought up to the stairs. There's a red box and a green box, and they cheer every time the boxes come in. So everyone's still, the mood is electric right now. In fact, a shipment is coming in right now as we speak. The cop car has just pulled up to the scene. The cop opens the door and the hands start flying. It's incredible.
Describe what exactly it is they're doing for us.
Sure. Right now, the police door has just opened. They carry a bag out. The bag is tossed between 5 cent hands onto a table. Onto the table, they take out a screwdriver and they open up the little tabs that have locked the bag so well. They're unzipping it. The hands are ripping. They unzip the bag. Right now, they've taken the boxes and they're racing up the stairs. And there's a red box, a green box, and they're cheering right now because the red has just gotten the boxes. They're opening it. They get the ballots and then they take it straight upstairs where it starts getting sorted. You can hear some of it in the background right now, some of the ripping, some of the screaming and cheering. It's a little intense.
Yeah, sounds very chaotic from what we can hear. But Chaya, thank you very much.
Absolutely. I'll keep you posted.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll toss it back over to Max Schwartz in just a couple of short moments. This is Annenberg Radio News' coverage of Election 2012. I'm Josh Wu.